My name is Trevor Kaufman. I'm the campus pastor here at South Creek. It's an honor to be here. I want to welcome you this morning as we gather together. We worship together. We sing together. We learn together. Pray together. It's just amazing to be together. And I want to start this morning with using a number. And the number is 16,000. 16,000. What in the world does that have to do with? 16,000 is actually the average number of words that you and I speak each and every day. 16,000 words. Now, some of you are thinking to yourself, maybe I, or you know of somebody that sort of raises that average a little bit, like they just don't stop talking, they're always constantly have something to say, and then maybe there's other people in the room that sort of bring that average down. I would probably think to myself that I tend to bring that average down. I know I'm up here, I speak on Sunday, but I typically don't actually enjoy talking all that much. So I'm somewhat introverted, and so anytime I can sort of be quiet and alone, I enjoy that. But the reality is that we all speak, on average, 16,000 words a day. And we know that there is power in our words. Power in our words. In fact, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that the tongue contains the power of life and death. The tongue is a powerful tool, a powerful force, a powerful weapon at times. The tongue is powerful. It can speak life and truth into people, but it can also speak lies, deceit, darkness, and death into people. You see the reality that a timely word can bring incredible hope, life, and restoration to somebody. And at the same time, a sharp word can cause great pain and heartache to others. Our words leave marks on other people for good or for destruction. You know, so as I think to myself about the words that people have spoken into my life, I gotta say, I probably wouldn't be standing on this platform today speaking to you if it wasn't for a lot of the words that were spoken to me throughout my life. People constantly telling me, giving me words of hope and truth and love and saying, you know what, you really excel in this area. You should pursue that a little more. Well, all the while, I'm starting to doubt myself, compare myself to other people, but it seems like there was always along the way somebody there to speak truth and hope into me. There's times in my life where people have spoken words of deceit and lies to me as well. And unfortunately, those often ring true and stick in my head a lot longer than the good ones. I mean, the reality is that when we hear somebody say something critical or negative to us, that is a deep wound, and it's often very difficult to be eliminated. And we've pretty much always kind of heard the idea that it takes like 10 good things to eliminate one bad thing. And sometimes that works in the way we speak to one another as well. What about you? Where have you been? As you sit here today, what has brought you to the place that you're at today? As you think back to how people have spoken into your life, how people have either spoken truth into your life and love and hope, or maybe people have spoken negativity and doubt and frustration into your life. It affects each and every one of us for the good and for the bad. You see, too often we're very careless with our words. And we often fail to even think before we speak them. I've actually heard it once said that words are sort of like toothpaste. Once it comes out, it's like impossible to put back in. I mean, it's out there for all the world to hear. You can't take it back. In a text, in an email, on a social media post, you can delete it, but people see it. It's very powerful what we do with our words. Has anybody in here ever texted somebody and you realized after you hit send that it was not to the correct person? I've actually had a story of a friend of mine who actually, he texted me. He was trying to like, actually, he had an issue with somebody else, and so he was explaining the issue that he had with this person. He actually sent the text to that person instead of to me. And let's just say that opened up a can of worms. So conflict management 101 right there. So it's dangerous. Words are powerful, and sometimes those words come off in meaningless texts that often mean far more than we intended. So today we're continuing our series, The One Another's. We're looking in different passages in Scripture that focus on how we are to treat one another, especially as followers of Jesus Christ. If we have welcomed Jesus Christ into our life as our Savior, as our Lord, as our Heavenly Father, we should be able to treat one another specific ways. And there's Scripture all over the place that tells us how to do this. There's actually 59 one another statements in Scripture. through the apostles, through Paul, through Jesus Christ himself. And so we've been looking at those over the course of the past few weeks, and we're going to continue to do that. First week, we looked at the power of hospitality, how we can welcome one another into our homes and into our circles of influence, just like Jesus Christ has welcomed each and every one of us into his loving arms, regardless of how broken and beaten we may feel or think that we are. And then last week, we looked at this specifically how to love one another, how to love sacrificially, how to love with honor, and how to love intentionally. And so today, we're going to continue this one another statement with a new one. And we're going to be finding this in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 and 13. And we don't really actually know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews. Many think it maybe was Paul, but we don't have for sure absolute concrete evidence of this, so the author is unknown. But we learn a lot in the book of Hebrews. It's a powerful book. And so we're going to start with Hebrews 3, 12, and we're going to get to this one another statement in just a minute. It says this in verse 12. "See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God." So we sort of set the stage this morning with this reality that all of us has a heart that naturally sort of desires to turn away from God, and we are to be warned against that as he's calling us in. Last week, we learned the power that we all often, unfortunately, fall into, that we do things we know we shouldn't do, but we do them anyway. This whole concept that we are, that sin is in us, but Jesus has defeated that sin, but oftentimes in this world that we live in, we are still pulled away and enticed to snap back to it. And so we're given a tool. We're given many tools, but we're given a tool this morning that we're going to get to in just a minute. But I want to continue to dive into this reality that we are often sucked away and enticed by sin. In fact, Romans 12, 2 goes into this even further. I love this. This is actually the Message translation of this passage, which I love this translation and this passage. It says this: "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit right into it without even thinking." I mean, think about that. How many times do we just naturally start doing the things around us because everybody else is doing it, to the point where we don't even think about it anymore? It just becomes normal. And all of a sudden, this normalness, even though it may be sinful or heading in that direction, we don't even think about it. It's just normal. "Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit right into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it." How do we figure this out? How do we know what God wants from us? We look in the living word of God. That is the primary way we find this out. And as the Holy Spirit enters into us and transforms our heart and our mind and our soul, we understand what it means to be like Jesus more and more. And then look at this. "Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you." If we cling to Jesus, he brings us this maturity, this level of maturity out of us that is contrary to the world around us, that is contrary to the way that we're automatically usually sort of inclined to be connected to. And God tries to break that. And so as we continue in Hebrews, we see the tool, we see the antidote for this. Again, there are many, but this one is powerful, and it's this. And I've tried to avoid using the word until right now, and I almost said it a couple times. But here it is in verse 13. "But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness." The deceit of sin is there. It's dragging us and pulling us and enticing us. It seems satisfying in the moment. But it's interesting that we have this tool of encouragement to counter that. Encouragement is powerful as we speak truth to one another, as we speak love to one another. You see, we live in a broken world that tries to pull us down to its standard of selfishness and despair. And where the natural response in that moment is to dish out more pain to make ourselves feel better or to make ourselves feel like we're not alone. And so it's very easy to speak words of negativity, of judgment to others, because it sort of
makes us superficially feel better about ourselves. But that is not what God wants us to do. In doing that, sin thrives. And as a result, that sin steals our joy, distorts our perspective, distorts our relationships, and hinders God's plan for our lives. So we see this beauty of encouragement and the fact that we are encouraged, we are to encourage one another daily. We are to encourage one another daily, each and every day. As long as it's called today, which it's going to be called that tomorrow and the next day, we are to encourage one another daily. So what do I mean by encourage? Well, you see, encourage means to make strong, to instill courage, or to contribute to the growth of someone else. It's more than just a superficial compliment, like, hey, nice hair today. That might make the person feel better for a little bit, but it's probably not going to really change the trajectory of their life. I mean, maybe it might. I don't know. Nice shoes. I like your outfit. No, this is like actually talking and speaking to somebody where you acknowledge that they have done something significant, that you see that maybe they made a sacrifice for something. You acknowledge that they did an incredible job at a certain task that they were given, that they went above and beyond, that they excel in this gift that they clearly have. And it's in those encouraging words that you may actually continue to instill truth and hope into them as the Holy Spirit speaks through you in these ways. Those are the stories that I can look back at when I was leading worship for years, as I began to preach more and more, and people would encourage me. In the moments that I start to look to others and think that I'm not good enough or I'm not worthy, and all of a sudden the perfect word comes along from the perfect individual. And often, a lot of times, it's people I don't even really know that well. We all get encouraged by, you know, our parents about things, and that's good. Our parents, we should be encouraging our children. But it means something really extra special when it's somebody that maybe you don't really know all that well. Or somebody that maybe is honest with you and you appreciate their honesty, and they're honest with you even in negative situations, and they're critical of you in like an honoring and good way. And then when they tell you something good, it means all that much more. It's powerful. Words are powerful. The goal of encouragement is to point someone's heart toward God. You see, sin lies to us. It says that the difficulties of this life are actually stronger than God's power, and the pleasures of this life are more satisfying than God's presence. But that is not the case. It's so easy to be fallen into temptation and to start diving into sinful acts because they feel good in the moment. They're temporary. But in the long run, they just lead to emptiness, doubt, death. Sin tells us that what you see and what you're experiencing is all that there is, that this life is it. There's nothing more. But that is not true. That is not true at all. You see, God commands his people to encourage one another because he knows that we all need it. We all need encouraging. We all need words of truth and hope spoken into us. And yes, we can find those words of truth and hope in Scripture. But God wants to use his creation as well to speak words of truth and hope to one another. Jesus actually tells us in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. But he immediately follows up with this, with a word of encouragement. But take heart, I have overcome the world. I say this many times, as we enter into a relationship with Jesus, it doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden our life is going to become a piece of cake. Everything is going to go perfectly now, just the way I think it should. That's not the reality. There will be struggles. There will be heartache. There may be more persecution than you've ever experienced before. Life may, in some circumstances, actually get more difficult, but guess what? You're not alone in them. Jesus is standing right beside you, and he says, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the struggles and the temptations and the issues that are all around you, that are all around you in your school, that are all around you in your workplace, that are all around you in whatever circle of influence that you are a part of each and every day. He has overcome those issues and wants to continue to work in and through you. But oftentimes, we need to be reminded of this truth. And yes, we will always be reminded of it in Scripture, but sometimes he wants to use other people to remind us of that truth. And that is where the power of encouragement comes in. as we speak words of truth and love and life into one another. Encouragement is designed to counter the negativity and selfishness of our culture. As followers of Jesus, we are called to create culture, to reshape the world around us and not be influenced by it. Because the world around us is not showing to be all that of God many times. We are constantly being pulled away, constantly being enticed by sin. And the culture around us is contributing to that. But we as Christians can redeem culture. We can create culture. Create a culture that's positive, that's uplifting, that's life-giving. When unfortunately so many times the culture around us is just the exact opposite. And so God wants to continue to work in and through his creation to help counter that. We're called to and invited to usher in God's kingdom culture as we partner with the Holy Spirit in bringing heaven to earth. So encouragement is this weapon. It's this tool that we have to counter these issues around us. And you want to know what's even more incredible about encouragement? Encouragement not only builds up the faith of others as you speak it into them, but it also refreshes and builds up your own faith. Proverbs 11:25 says this, "Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed." I think to myself as I've spoken words of encouragement to other people, as I've seen that they've maybe been struggling or doubting a situation or not feeling that they're worthy of something, I've spoken words of encouragement into them, spoken words of truth, of hope, and I see them light up. I see them like actually think, okay, I have been listening to lies, and now it's time to actually start believing the truth, that I am a child of God, that I am worthy of something more than I feel like I maybe am at times. And it's amazing to see them light up, and it's an incredibly rewarding experience to be on this side of it. Encouraging others is almost an immediate encouragement right back for you. And Scripture tells us that in Proverbs. Those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. Over the last month, we looked at the book of Acts. We looked at the book of Acts, and there are many examples of encouragement all throughout Scripture and all throughout the book of Acts. You see, the early church was under persecution. They were the new thing in town, and it was against the culture. It was going against the culture around them. And so it was very easy for these early Christians, these new Christians, to sort of snap back into what is comfortable, to sort of snap back into what was familiar to them, even though it was contrary to the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ himself had been teaching about and that Paul continued to teach. And so Paul and his friends would go on these missionary journeys and encourage new believers to continue the faith that they have started. Barnabas is one of these individuals that would travel with Paul. Barnabas is actually known as the son of encouragement. He would encourage everybody he was around. He was the kind of person you wanted to be near. I mean, let's be honest. We know people in our lives who are just natural encouragers, who speak these words of love and hope in us, and we want to be near them, right? Those are the kind of people we gravitate towards. They make us feel like we're worth something, and it's not superficial, fake encouragement. We know they're speaking real words to us. And then we all have these people in our lives that maybe are not so much like that and are constantly critical of every single thing you do, are constantly worried, are constantly picking on you for things. Those are the kind of people you sort of tend to avoid, right? I know that I have had those people in my life, and it's very difficult for me to want to actually enter into their circle because I don't know what they're going to tell me, and it's not ever going to be encouraging. Are you speaking words of encouragement to one another? Are you known as an encourager, or are you known as a critic or one that spreads doubt and deceit and lies? But it's all over. It's all over in the early church. In fact, the epistles, the books that Paul had written, are filled with encouragement. Most of them all start and end, or bookended, with encouragement. This morning I was reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. I was reading through it for a devotion that a men's group of mine is doing. And it's just filled with encouragement. He's just encouraging the church. I hear that you are continuing to do good. I wasn't sure if you were going to continue to be doing good after the persecution that you've experienced, but you're doing amazing. I'm getting reports back from Timothy that you're doing outstanding. Keep up the good work. And this encouragement continued to bring a fire and put a fire beneath these early church Christians to continue doing the right thing. When the world around them was telling them not to, when the world around them was contradictory to the way that Jesus had taught and the way that Paul had taught, he was encouraging them to stay strong. You can do this. You're doing an incredible job. Keep it up. It's still true today. Encouragement was and continues to be vital in the way we function and love one another as a church family. If we want to be a church that desires to be an undeniable force of hope, healing, and grace for generations to come, we need to encourage one another in any way we can. I actually heard a pastor put it this way once when it comes to encouragement within the church. He says, when encouragement is absent from the life of the church, people often feel unloved, unimportant, useless, and forgotten. God knows his people are in need of grace-filled reminders, so he calls us to encourage each other every day until Jesus returns. Encouragement is like oxygen in the life of a church. It keeps hearts beating, minds clear, and hands inspired to serve. Encouragement is vital. And as we mentioned last week, we've got to be able to get this right within the confines of our church, within the confines of Christianity. And then other people will see, look how encouraging they are to one another. And then as we encourage those that maybe aren't followers of Jesus yet, speak truth into them. Maybe that would be the gospel that they receive that day. Because maybe they're never going to pick up this. They're never going to hear the words of encouragement given to us directly through Scripture because they're not at a point where they're picking this up. But you can speak words of encouragement to them. You can speak words of hope, love, truth to them. Over the years of ministry, I've learned this. And so I've actually saved a lot of encouraging notes or emails because like I stated at the beginning, I get plenty of criticism. I get plenty of people who don't think we're doing something right. Most of the time it's anonymous. They don't sign their name to it. When I was a worship leader, it was filled with this. Our emails every week would have one or two complaints about how somebody didn't like the way something sounded or looked. It never had a name with it. But it didn't matter. It really made me start to think and doubt, am I doing the wrong thing? Am I doing things wrong? Am I leading worship wrong? Am I preaching wrong? And you start to believe these lies, even if there's not a name with them. You start to believe them. But then every once in a while, at just the right time, like I'd already stated, somebody would speak truth into me, face to face, look me in the eyes, and tell me, I appreciate what you're doing. Or they'll tell me a story of how it's changed or impacted their life or how they needed to hear the specific word in the specific moment. And that's life-giving to me. And so I'll save those emails. I actually, out of humor, save the bad ones too. Only if they don't like have a name to them or something. There's one. I should have brought it and took a picture and shown it in publicly because they didn't put a name on it anyway, so... At one point, I was leading worship. I'll just tell you, it's hilarious. At one point, I was leading worship, and I wasn't actually on the platform that weekend. And so they wrote a comment card with no name on it. And they said, worship was great this weekend. It should be focused on the Lord, not Trevor and his jumping in his outfits. The grammar, first of all, was terrible. I didn't say that wrong just now. That's what was written. Horrible grammar. Just like, I'm like, I never want it to be about me. But I apparently moved on the stage a little more than they liked, and I didn't wear what they wanted me to wear, and so they just thought that... So anyway, I actually have that hanging on a bulletin board in my office, because I actually think it's funny. But it's amazing. So that's still... Obviously, I'm talking about it in a message illustration. It didn't go away. It still affects me, right? But then I would be followed up in just the right time with an encouraging word from somebody that actually meant something to me. And I cling to those. And so I have files, both email files saved and hard copy files saved of encouraging notes. And it's how God helps to inspire and continue to me to move forward in powerful ways for his kingdom. So I would encourage you to encourage others as you continue. God knows how powerful and kingdom-building encouragement is. He does not merely recommend it, he commands it. He tells us we are to encourage one another because he knows we need it. So let me read our passage again this morning in its entirety. Hebrews 3, verse 12 and 13. See to it, brothers and sisters, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The enemy wants to attack us. The enemy wants to destroy us. But we have a weapon, we have a tool, first and foremost, that is the victory that Jesus Christ has claimed over sin and death. And as we acknowledge that and believe that, we are filled with his Holy Spirit, and then we have these ways in which we are to encourage and work with one another around us. And encouragement in and of itself is an incredible tool and weapon to take away from the deceitfulness of the enemy. I want to share with you just a few easy steps as we conclude this morning. The first one is this. As we talk about encouragement, be honest with yourself. Think to yourself, even in this moment, are you believing and are you being deceived by sin? Are you believing the worst about God? Are you believing the worst about others? Are you believing the worst of the church and of the world? Do you find yourself sort of always doubting, always thinking the worst of things? Are you growing cynical, bitter, or overly negative? Are you buying into the culture around you, which celebrates the fact that often the best insult or comeback is what should be done, is what should be strived for? The reality is that is not the way God has intended it. So think to yourself, how are you this morning? Are you negative? Are you doubtful? And then if the answer is yes to that, this is the second thing, and this is for all of us as well, but I would ask you to ask God to make you an encourager. And maybe the first thing you need to do in order for that to happen is actually acknowledge him as Savior of your life. The fact that he has defeated the world around you. He has defeated the issues and struggles and temptations and hurdles that we are faced with each and every day. He has overcome them, and we can find victory. We can claim victory in that reality. And so maybe this morning you just need to say, you know what, Jesus? I've been doubting you. I've been doubting this whole faith thing. I've been doubting Christianity. But I realize that it's only you. It's only through you and the power of your Holy Spirit that I can be eternally satisfied. And then ask him to give you a heart for others. Ask him to give you a heart for others. Thirdly, ask the Holy Spirit who and how you are to encourage. Who is it in your circle of influence? Who is it in your class? Who is it at work? Who is it in your neighborhood? Who is it within this church that needs a word of encouragement? The easy way to do this is actually just sort of flip through your contact list. Who's in the contacts of your phone? Maybe one will pop out and you'll be like, I haven't talked to this person in a while, or I've seen on social media that this individual is struggling with a situation. Maybe they could use a word of encouragement. Encouragement is powerful, and it can often be the very thing that draws people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus, so many people in this world only have the world to compare themselves to. And most of the time, we never measure up. We never seem to have it right. We never seem to be able to fulfill this deep longing and desire we have in our heart that only Jesus can do. So how can you encourage others? And then fourthly, make encouragement a daily practice. Give yourself a daily reminder to encourage through a text or through a phone call or through a note, through a social media message, whatever it may be, to encourage at least one person a day. It's very easy to do, and you never know where it will go from that. This past week, I had a few people encourage me over different things that I had done or said. And it gave me life to continue moving forward. It's amazing how it works. And I would encourage you to do the very same thing, to encourage others. So I want to share with you an incredible example of what this looks like. Many of you know the Dunmires. Steve and Tammy. Steve has spoken up here a few times, and Tammy and the children sometimes come to our services. Steve is on staff with us now, and Steve actually just lost his father a little over a week ago now. And but it's amazing because Tammy has an incredible gift and calling for encouragement. And so before going into too much more detail, why don't you check out this video and learn a little bit from Tammy this morning.
And you know, in this era of texts and tweets and everything, a handwritten note has an extra added impact. It's kind of a lost art form.
Nobody gets anything in the mail anymore.
Yeah.
Except junk. And so...
So when you get something in the mail that's a handwritten note from somebody, it stands out even more. The impact of that, I think, is compounded by how unique and how rare it is.
So I've always had a stationery addiction and loved writing cards, but I would say that I wouldn't have viewed that I had a card ministry until about 5 years ago. I had a pretty major surgery 5 years ago, and I was pretty much trapped in our bedroom. I wasn't really allowed to leave very much. I wasn't very steady on my feet. And so I really just prayed about how the Lord could use me in this season. And I started to pray the prayer, Lord, okay, open my eyes to those around me that need encouragement. And I'm telling you, when you pray that prayer, it's unbelievable that you start to see people in your life that maybe you haven't noticed before, or acknowledging hardworking people that just don't get enough credit in this world that we live in. And so I started making a list of all those that I thought needed encouragement. It's kind of been a word of mouth ministry at this given time, mostly because with COVID we've been limited in our gatherings. Watermark Encouragement Team is our official name that we gave ourselves. So we meet right now once a month. Every other month we do thank yous for our ministry partners. The opposite months, we adopt one of our external ministry partners and write notes of appreciation. People get kind of hung up on it, wanting to say the right exact wording that it needs to be worded correctly and crafted correctly, but I don't think it's about that at all. I think it's really just about taking the time to write a handwritten note and encourage somebody and appreciate somebody for what they're doing to serve, and that we're recognizing that. So I think it's more about that that anybody could really be a part of.
I'll say I have gotten a note from Tammy, and again, it seemed to come at just the right time. Time when I was filled with doubt and confusion and maybe thinking, I don't know, am I doing the right thing? A note would come along at just the right time, and it was from Tammy, and it's incredible. It's amazing. And the interesting thing about Tammy, she didn't go into a whole lot of detail, but she had a time where she was really sick. She went through the surgery she mentioned, and she was in a dark place for a while. But other people had encouraged her all through that. And she felt the reality of what a powerful, encouraging word could do. And it spurred her forward in a powerful and dynamic way. And I think a lot of people think, well, I can't encourage anybody else because I'm broken in this area myself. But oftentimes the people that speak the best encouragement are the people that have the deepest wounds and scars themselves, because they fully understand what it's like to be in a certain situation. And so maybe you're thinking to yourself, man, I have had a dark past. I have had a rough situation in my life that brought me to here. But I know other people are going through that same thing right now. Your words will be powerful to them. They'll speak hope. They'll give them hope because they see, oh my gosh, this person has gone through something similar to me and they've made it through it. They've made it to the other side. They've made it to the other side with the power of Jesus Christ. I want that. I want that. So think to yourself as you go from here, how can you get engaged with encouraging one another? Simple acts. After service, I would encourage you to head right over. I keep saying encourage you, but it makes sense, right? Head over to the table over there. Stephanie Ballmer's over there. She's part of that encouragement team. She's got some examples over there. We have some blank cards there if you want to take something home and just sort of do this in your own circles of influence at work, school, community, whatever that looks like. You can do that. And also at this time, during this song, I want to open up a time for prayer. The Rebishes are actually going to be over there standing. And if you want to head over there, if you need anything that, if there's anything on your heart, on your mind that you need prayer for, that you need an encouraging word from the Lord, they'll be there to pray with you. And I would encourage you to do that as well. So think as you go from here. Who is it you can encourage? When was the last time you encouraged your spouse, your friends, your children? Before you speak, think. Is this life-giving or not? Before you post on social media, is this life-giving or divisive? There are power in words. Power of the tongue to bring life or death. Are you bringing life as you speak to one another? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you have poured into us words of truth and love and encouragement through your scripture. Lord, allow us to internalize that, to believe it, to feel it, to experience it to the point where it overflows and we can't help but give it to others. God, if we're here this morning and we are still doubting who you even are, I pray that you would reveal yourself in a supernatural way to anybody in this room that is seeking, that is searching for something more than this world can provide for them. God, I acknowledge that you are my Savior. I acknowledge that I have sinned, that I am broken, that I am flawed, and that you have welcomed me in with open arms in spite of it, because that is how incredible your love is for me. I ask that each and every one of the people in this room would feel and believe that same reality is for them as well. God, we love you. We thank you for the encouragement that you give to us each and every day. Through your word and through others, allow us to be a force of encouragement to others around us as well. In the powerful name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.